of the worlds going on. Because there are two worlds, and there's a war that's going on, and it may be an unseen world if you are not in tune with the Spirit of God and the Word of God, but nevertheless, it is a war that is going on. And I want to talk about that war this morning and hopefully educate all of us a little bit more about this war. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, War of the Worlds. I use that because I know it will stick with you. 2 Corinthians 4:4, for the God of this world has blinded the unbelievers' minds that they should not discern the truth, preventing them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ the Messiah, who is the image and likeness of God. Now, 2 Peter 1:4 talks about this world system. And when the Bible talks about this world, it's either using the word eon, age, or cosmos, which is a world system. A world system. Peter talks about a world system. And that is what I am talking about this morning, that there is the kingdom of darkness, and there is the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, and they are at war one with another. And the battleground takes place in the hearts and minds of men and women. That's where it's taking place this morning. Now, this world system has to do with a system of thought, of values, of purpose and plans and operation, all of that. So either we're operating under the influence of the values and the plans and the pursuits of the God of this world, or we are operating under the values, the plans, and the pursuits of the kingdom of God. Come on. Jesus said this. He said, you cannot be for and against me. He said, you can be for me, you can be against me, but you can't be both. And so many of the problems that Christians get trapped up in, the reason they are unable to live more productive lives and see more victory and be more useful for the kingdom of God is they don't understand this war of the worlds that's taking place. They don't understand the theater. They don't understand the weapons. They don't understand what's going on. Oh, yes, they know there is a God and there is a devil, but they don't really understand how this thing operates. And even some Christians that have some understanding do not take it as seriously as they ought to. Amen? Because it is a real, real war that's going on. Now, notice, part of this operation of the kingdom of darkness is to do what? Is to blind you. That's what they wanted. Wants to blind you. When you operate out of the natural, your natural mind and the thinking and the system of this world, you know what you're operating? You're operating really under the God of this world. Come on. You know who's influencing the governments, the economies, and all of those things, the systems of this world? It's the God of this world. And so if we live that same way, if we live under the sway of that, if we allow that to have the last word in our lives rather than the kingdom of light, then I want to tell you what, you're living under the control of that kingdom. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Oh, Pastor, this is too extreme. Yeah, you haven't heard anything yet. Isn't that right? Listen, either this is real or it's not. If it's real, let's act like it. Let's live like it. Let's approach it that way. Amen? I guarantee you, if you'd been drafted into war and you knew in about a year you're going up to Afghanistan or somewhere on the front lines, I guarantee you, you'd be at the drill. You'd definitely make sure you showed up to learn how to take that weapon apart and put it back together. You'd definitely make it your way out to the firing range and work on shooting that thing. Come on. You wouldn't lie up and watch HBO. And then you know, they get ready to deploy you and you don't even know how to put your uniform on. Come on. This is serious. This is serious stuff, isn't it? This world system. Listen, the devil is out to blind you, to make you ineffective for God, to put out your light. Amen? And if he can kill you, that's so much the better. But listen, see, we think that if God physically kills somebody, that, or if the devil can physically kill somebody, that's the worst thing that can happen. Now, I'm not minimizing that, but that is not the worst thing that can happen. The worst thing that happened is that a Christian can continue to live under the influence and the sway of the god of this world and live their whole life without ever entering into the battle and without ever being useful for the kingdom of God. That's a worse tragedy. Isn't that true? And that's what we got to understand. This present world operates from the darkness of the evil one who influences the systems of government and economy and so forth and so on throughout this throughout our cultures. It doesn't matter where you live. He is operating there. But what God wants us to understand is that now we have been translated. Let's read that over there. I know we know it, but let's read it in Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness." He's rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Now, what is he talking about here? He's talking about the spirit of man when you are born again. You are translated, what, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. But how many of you know that darkness can still rule in your mind and in your emotions? It can still rule in your family, in your home life. It can still rule in your finances. Come on. It can still rule in our motives and in our priorities in life. The kingdom of darkness, most of us that weren't brought up in the kingdom of God as a little child, we were educated first in the kingdom of darkness. We were educated to operate that way. We know how the kingdom of darkness, we know how the financial system works. We know how the political system works. We know how all that works. Amen? And day after day after day, the god of this world is pumping out his thought, his values through radio, television, newspapers, magazines, internet, everything, isn't he? Because he understands how this thing works. That if he can gain your mind, your thinking, he's got you. Oh yeah, maybe you've gotten saved. Maybe you're born again. Maybe you're going to heaven and he can't do anything about that. But he can make you completely and totally ineffective right now in this earth. You think the devil cares what kind of car you drive? He don't give a hoot. He don't care. He don't care whether you drive a jalopy or a Ferrari. He could care less about that. Whichever way he can bind you up the best, that's what he'll do. If a Ferrari will work, he don't care if you have one. If a jalopy will work, he don't care if you have one. We've got to elevate our understanding and our thinking beyond that. He's after your thoughts. He's after your mind. He's after your motives. He's after getting you to put yourself first. It's all about me. That's the kingdom of darkness. What about me? What about my right? What about what I deserve? Oh, come on. Everything is what me driven in his kingdom. Because that's the way he is. It's all about him. See, he didn't like it because God was higher than he was. And so one day he decided, wait a minute here. I don't like this setup, God. I'm gonna exalt my throne. I'm going to ascend. I'm going to be like the Most High. I'm going to be number one. Come on. Boy, he got his comeuppance though, didn't he? And see, the devil wants to trick you in the same way. See, because the kingdom of darkness trains us, if I don't look out for me, nobody will. Come on. See, selfishness, self-centeredness, that's not of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is, listen, I put God and others first because I know I've got a great big daddy up there that's full of love that he's going to take care of me. My job is not to take care of me. My job is to love and to serve him and others. That's his job, is to take care of me.
This is a good introduction. Turn over to Romans 12 a minute. Now, some of these scriptures I know are familiar, but just bear with me. Romans 12.
He's after, listen, both these kingdoms have a plan for your life. Listen to me. Oh, and I want to tell you something. Listen, the devil and his kingdom, because it is a kingdom that will not stand, because it is a kingdom that's made out of smoke and mirrors, his kingdom always seems to present you with a way that seems better, faster, easier. Come on. Because there's no substance to it. There's no eternity to it. There's no reality to it. So, you'll look around and say, well, I don't understand. They're not serving God, and it just seems like they got it made. It just seems like everything works so good for them. It depends on what it is. Are you, see, that you're already, he's already got you thinking like his kingdom. You think an Armani suit is what it's about? Having a big diamond ring on your hand, you think that's what it's about? Oh, we got to have bling. That's what it's about, isn't it? A fling and a bling. That's not what it's about, church. It's about him and his kingdom and his eternal purposes for you. But see, if the kingdom of God, if he's got you thinking that way, listen, you may be born again. You may be going to heaven. But I want to tell you what, you're operating according to the God of this world. And the Bible says that his way leads to death. Destruction, confusion. Romans 12:2. I know you're there. Let me get there. I know we can quote these, but it's good to read them. That's why I like for you to look at them in your Bible. Romans 12:2. Listen to this. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. He's writing to Christians. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, I want to stop there a minute. From birth to this present time, you've lived in this present world. And it is absolutely a fact. It is inescapable for you to get away from the God of this world and his influence in this present age. Are you listening? Paul said, if we're going to do that, he said, then we're going to have to go out of the world. But it is possible for you to live in this world, okay, and still be operating by the kingdom of God, by the kingdom of light, because here's the thing, light dispels darkness. Isn't that right? So if I'm walking in the light of the kingdom, if I'm walking according to the kingdom pattern, then guess what it's going to do? It's going to begin to dispel the darkness around me. And listen, it doesn't matter. Dark is only so dark. Dark is dark. Isn't that right? Yeah, I've shared with this before. When I was in college, I had a roommate, and he was a spelunker. You know what a spelunker is? Cave diver. He used to. And man, I'm telling you, he talked me into going on some excursion into those caves. Oh, Lordy. I must have been out of my mind. I was. Lord, we were wriggling around up in there, you know, where you're laying on your back and the rock is like right here. And you've never seen pitch black, brother. That is dark. But that, you know what? That's as dark as it gets. But you know what? You could light a match in there. You could turn on the flashlight. And as dark as that was, you know what? It couldn't hold back that light. And if we walk in the light, darkness can't hold you back either. Darkness can't prevent. Listen, the kingdom of this world, this world system. See, we've been trained to think we have to operate in it. We have to live this way. But I want to tell you something. The kingdom of darkness cannot put out the kingdom of God. It cannot put out the light. So if we walk in truth, if we walk in the light, then you know what's going to happen. Darkness is going to have to go from us. And the more light that I walk in and that you walk in, then the less darkness is going to be there and the less chaos in my life. But see, our problem is many times we want to go so far in the light, then we want to back off. Because I want to tell you what. See, when you start walking in the light and that light begins to shine in, you ever suddenly gone from a dark room And somebody either turned the light on or you walked where there was a bright light all of a sudden. I mean, your first reaction is what? You want to draw back, don't you? Cover your eyes and draw back. And see, many times as God's kingdom, as we walk into the light, as God reveals himself and reveals the operation of his kingdom, our first reaction can be, oh, that's too bright. But what we have to learn is to train ourselves is to go into the light. Go into the light. Because what is the problem for so many believers is they come right up to the light, but then their reaction is to back away from it. Because at first glance, it seems painful. It seems harmful. It seems too bright. It seems too stark. It seems to expose too much. But listen, it is for our good. You're wanting to say something, aren't you?
You know, the Lord is giving us more and more young people. He's sending young people to this place. And when I was reading the scripture, my eyes just happened to glance upward. Because, you know, when you read a scripture, you want to read it in the context. You know, you look at the scriptures that are in front of it, that are, you know. And so I want you to go back to Romans 12:1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, now, especially you young people, listen to this. I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. You want to worship God, young people? Do you really want to worship God? Do you really want to serve God? Notice what he says. And then the scripture that Pastor read earlier, I like this translation. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Don't copy the behavior of your friends that are not serving God. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Because that's where Satan attacks us with the thoughts. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. You want to know what God wants you to do for your lives? You want to know your will and the purpose that God has for you, the future that God has for you? Young people, this is how to do it. Which is good. His will for you is good. Know that the plans, the purposes, the things that God has for you is good and pleasing and perfect. Now, I know this may be kind of a side road, but...
Oh, you're just preaching my sermon before
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But, when God gives you something like that, you just, you know what I'm saying? And people, this is urgent. Present your bodies to God. Listen, I work in a high school. I see, I've got kids in my class. I have two fathers in my class. One has a one-year-old baby. I asked why he was absent, because he was at his child's one-year-old birthday. And the other one just got here like a month ago. Found out he had to go for a pregnancy test. Present your bodies to God. He has a good plan for you. I mean, now, if you're in that situation, young person, you know, and it's too late, so to speak, God can still redeem the situation. He can turn it around. If your heart is right, God will turn things. I'm not saying that you can reverse all of the, you know, because sometimes there's consequences for our actions. There are. But God can turn it around for you and make your life good and pleasing and holy and acceptable. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Now, I want you to, if you will, turn over to Genesis chapter 1 just for a moment. Genesis 1. Genesis 1. I want you to see something here. This is how the kingdom works. God always will speak light into the darkness. He doesn't say, darkness be gone. He speaks light. He brings light into the darkness. Now, I want you to know, darkness can represent a lot of things. It can represent chaos in our lives. You know, many people, even born-again believers, they have a lot of chaos going on in their lives. Things that are not lining up. that are causing you all kinds of irritation, consternation, discouragement, and everything else. You know what it is? It's just this. You need to let some light in. You need to let some light in. If you'd let some light, the light of God's truth in, the light of God's Spirit and Word in, if you'd let the light in, now I want to tell you what, the darkness would leave. When the darkness leaves, the chaos leaves. When the darkness leaves, the discouragement leaves. When the darkness leaves, the confusion leaves. When the darkness leaves, the sickness leaves. Thank you. Genesis 1, verse 2. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now I want to stop there for a moment. Notice the condition here. And you know what? This was a condition of creation at a point in time. But I want to bring it over into our lives. You know what? Sometimes there's chaos, there's darkness, there's things in our lives, and we wonder, why is God not doing something? God, why don't you do something? Don't you see how I'm hurting? Don't you see what's going on? Don't you see what I need? Well, here it says that the Spirit of God was present, and He was hovering, but He was not working. He was not working. Now, why was He not working? We see in the next verse, it says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God said, let there be light. So as soon as God spoke into the, what, darkness? He spoke into the darkness. What happened? The Holy Spirit began to move. See, God's will brings the light. This is why He said, if you would renew your minds and your thinking, okay, to God's kingdom, to God's word, to God's will, then you would be transformed, and the light that is in God will come into you. And that light will begin to what? Set things in order. Because from this point forward here in Genesis, you will see that things begin to fall in order according to God's plan. Animal life, vegetation life, the water, the earth, the stars, the moon, the sun, right up to man. Everything in God's divine order. Everything was brought exactly as He had intended. And it started, though, what? When God's will through His word was injected into the darkness. And I want to tell you, the same thing's going to be true for you and I. If we look at an area of our life, first thing we got to do is be honest with ourselves. And look at an area of our life and say, look, there's some darkness here. It's just be honest with ourselves and be honest with God. We don't like it necessarily. We don't want it. That's all well and good. That's a place to start. But how do I get rid of it? You don't run the darkness off. You put light there, and the light will run the darkness off. See, too often we want somebody to cast something off of us or out of us. And there's a place for that. But I'm going to tell you, most of the time, you just need some light to come in. You need some light to come into your life. You need some information. You need some knowledge about the will of God. Amen? Because, see, the Holy Spirit, now get this, is the executor of the will. He executes the will. But, see, if the will is not read, until the will is read, there's nothing for the executor to do. He cannot operate before the will is read. Isn't that right? And so when the will of God is read, so to speak, into your life through the words of your mouth, you begin to speak God's word, you through prayer and through your confession, you begin to speak the will of God, the promise of God, into the darkness areas of your life, then the Holy Spirit can begin to execute just like He did here. As soon as God said something, the will of God came in, what? The Holy Spirit went in motion. And the darkness... You ever wonder where darkness goes when the light comes on? What happens is, see, that shows you what the reality of darkness is. It's the absence of something. It does not have a substance. That's why as soon as light comes, it's gone. Light has substance. Light can manifest itself in many different ways, can't it? It's really, you know, we look at it and we see light, but it's really wavelengths. It's heat. It's all kinds of things in motion, isn't it? And so we need to understand it has substance. It has energy. It has power, both in the natural and in the supernatural. And see, what happened with the devil when he fell, the light that God had put in him went out. Because he didn't have any light of himself. His light came from God. Just like your light and my light, we have no light in ourselves. Our light comes from God, doesn't it? God comes in through the new birth, through the Holy Spirit indwelling us. God comes in and what? There's light in us. We're called the light of the world. But here's the thing. That light is meant to increase. Because when it comes in at first, it's shining what? Into your spirit. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he is what? A brand new creature. What's that talking about? It's talking about the inward man, isn't it? But now what? God wants that light to go through our soulish man, our mind, our will, our emotions. He wants it to go into our body. He wants it to go into our family and relationships. He wants it to go into our job and our finances. He wants his light to shine in every crevice and nook and cranny of our existence. You know, the Bible says this about God. That God, of course, he's perfect, but in his perfection, he's spoken of as light. And that light is so perfect and complete, the Bible says it doesn't matter how God turns, he never casts a shadow. Because the light that's in him is full and complete and perfect. That's why the Bible says he doesn't change. Doesn't matter wherever he turns. See, right now, even with this little bit of light, I can see a shadow. I can see the shadow of those chairs. But in God, there is none. And so in our lives, there is some degree, and not in our spirit, but in our soul, and in our body, in our families, in our relationships, where the kingdom of God is not ruling yet. There's some darkness there. So what are we going to do about it? We have got to begin to speak something in prayer and out of our mouth as well. And if we don't speak anything, the Holy Spirit has nothing to execute. Amen? So here's the thing. What are you saying? What are you saying? You know what the devil's after? He's after control. You know over there in James, we don't have to read it, James 3, I'll just remind you of it. Remember he gives the example of the tongue and he compares it to the rudder on a ship and the bit in a horse. Remember that? Well, here's the thing. The devil is not after the ship per se. He's not after the cargo per se. What's he after? The rudder. See, we're all concerned about the cargo. We're all concerned about the condition of the ship. We're all concerned about the name on the ship. We're all concerned about, does my ship have any leaks? We're all concerned about that. And the devil's like, yeah, that's right. Just keep. And all the time, he's got his hand on the rudder. You know what? He's got an aim up ahead. You know what his aim is? The rocks. He wants to crash your life on the rocks. He wants to destroy you, destroy your testimony, destroy your family, destroy anything he can. And while we're all quibbling about who should man the pumps and if this cargo should be stacked on the left or the right side of the boat in the church, all the time he's back there. Because what did he compare the rudder to? The words of our mouth. And here's the thing, we can either let the devil be in control or God in control. And you know, please hear me, church. I'm saying, I do this for your good. We can come to this altar, we can cry, we can pray, we can beg, and we can do all that. But if we go, and all that's fine, but we go back out and we continue to let the God of this world control the rudder, our mouth. He also compared it to a bit in a horse's mouth. You know how a bit controls a horse? It puts pressure. Puts pressure on his tongue. And after a while, that horse gets trained. This pressure, I go this way. This pressure, I do this. This pressure, I stop. This thing, I go. What does the God of this world do to us? He tries to condition us in our thinking. He does something over here. Oh, we hear the news broadcast. And oh, here we go. Oh, it's getting bad. You heard how bad it's getting? Oh, man, it's going to get bad. I bet. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Then we come to church and we cry and everything, and then we go home and blah, blah, blah. It doesn't do any good. Listen, the devil doesn't care if you got control of the helm when it's at the dock. See, it's when it's in motion, when you're out there living your life, that's where we've got to live by the kingdom. We're talking about the war of the worlds. And it's warring in your mind, it's warring in your circumstance, and it's warring in your family, and you've got to make up your mind, who's going to be in control of my ship? Who's going to be directing it? And you are the one who makes the decision. Now, it would be great if God could do it. Come on. It'd be great if God could do it. Somebody said, well, if God wants to do it, he'll do it. Well, if that's true, then I'll tell you what, God's got this world in a big mess if he's in control. Come on. If he's in control, it's in a big mess. I'm not speaking blasphemy. Anybody agree with me the world's in a big mess? Well, if what we understand about God, God is love, God's a God of order, then I'm telling you what, something's wrong somewhere. Because if he's in charge, he's in over his head. No, see, we don't understand. There's a war of two worlds going on. And God created Adam. We know this, put him in Eden, and there was perfect order. But Adam sinned, didn't he? Adam rebelled. And so guess what? The God of this world came right back in. And he's like, hot dog, I got you. And you know, the same thing he did with Adam is the same thing he's still doing with us. He wants to get control of your thoughts, get control of your emotions, get control of your words, and he will get control of your life. And your life will be a mockery before God. That's what he wants it to be. Amen? Sure he does. He mocks God. And he wants your life to be a mockery to God. But here's the good news. You can make a different choice. You can make a different choice. Amen? So let me remind you of this. Faith-filled words. How do we get faith-filled words? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, here's the thing. Whatever you listen to most is what you will be filled with most. See, you can't take a thimble of God's Word in and, you know, and a 50 gallons of the world stuff imbibed in and think you're going to have faith. Think you're going to be transformed. It won't happen. I said it won't happen. Oh, well, I came on Sundays. Well, that's good. I commend you for that. But I want to tell you what, this is an everyday thing. Does the world come at you every day? Does the world try to come at you every day and tell you, hey, man, you know, this is the way it is. This is the way it is. This is reality. This is truth. This is how it's going to be. It's bad, but you ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to get worse. Come on. And at that point, we've got to make up our mind. What are we going to do? Which way are we going to go? What are we going to say? So faith-filled words will always dominate darkness. Are you listening to me? Faith-filled words will always dominate darkness. So what are you speaking over your life? What are you speaking over it? And here's the thing. What plan are you following? God's plan or man's plan? The plan of this world or the plan of the kingdom of God? Amen? Turn over to John real quickly. This is my first closing. John 5. Closing number one. John 5. We're going to read verse 19 and then a couple of other verses. Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Now, I want you to skip down and look at verse 30. By myself, I can do nothing. What does he mean there? It doesn't mean I can't do nothing, because we know he could. Isn't that right? In other words, what he was saying is, I can do nothing that relates to the plan, the purpose, and the will of God in heaven. I can do nothing. I can do nothing except what? What the Father shows me. What the Father speaks to me.
But yeah, we know he could do stuff just like we can do stuff. The problem is when I do stuff, it gets me in trouble. Isn't that right? By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. Why? For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Verse 31. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. There's another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is valid. God wants our lives to reflect the testimony of the kingdom of God. Our lives are to reflect and be a testimony of the kingdom of God. The world's running around all uptight and in fear and everything. What do we got? We got peace. We got confidence. We got assurance. We got a connection with the kingdom and with God. We're not worried about it. You know, there's just as much silver in the earth as there ever was. Just as much gold as there ever was. Come on, just as much land as there ever was. Come on. See, but the kingdom of darkness wants to tell you, oh, a shortage. Shortage, shortage, shortage. There's a shortage. There's a shortage. And of course, if you don't outright say it, what does he always imply to you? You're going to be on the short end. There's a shortage and you're getting it. There's not enough and it's coming your way. Isn't that true? That's what he tells everybody. But the reality is what? That the resources, there's an abundant of resources here. Besides that, God's not meeting my needs according to the resources down here anyway. He's meeting them according to his riches and glory. But see, he wants to get you thinking. That's just one example. He wants you to get you thinking that way. He'll try to get you to thinking that everybody's against you. Oh, yeah, they don't like you. They don't like you at work. Your boss don't like you. Your coworkers don't like you. They don't like you. They don't like you. And then you call up Sister So-and-so, and you know what? Nobody likes me at my work. Come on. And we get that thing. It's so, isn't it? And next thing you know, boy, the devil. You know, and probably you know what the devil's doing. He's telling them the same thing. Nobody likes you. Oh, she don't like me. Whatever it is, isn't that true? So he wants to get a hold of your tongue. Your thoughts and your tongue, he gets a hold of it. And he will direct the course of your life. He will direct the course of churches. He can direct the course of nations. You know, because he's playing, you know what kind of game he's playing? He's playing he's trying to hold back as long as he can, what's coming. That's all he's doing. He knows he can't win, but he's trying to put it off as long as he can. He's trying to play a stall game. He's trying to play you know, a game where he can put off the inevitable. And he thinks if he can continue to control the church, he can continue to control promulgate his darkness through the church and be in control of that, that he can put off the ultimate purpose and plan of God. He can put it off longer. He can forestall God's plan and purpose. Because here's the thing. Jesus is not coming back tomorrow. Ooh, I lost some of you then, didn't I? Come on. Come on. Here's the thing. Jesus said this gospel is going to be preached, what? Into every nation. Now, that doesn't mean political nation. That means tribes, ethnocentric languages. So within a political nation, you might have a bunch of nations in the definition of God. So he says this gospel of the kingdom has first got to be preached to these nations first for a sign. He said, and then the end shall come. Well, how many know that hadn't been done yet? I said that hadn't been done yet. So he can't come back today. He's not going to come back tomorrow unless we get it done by tomorrow. And so the devil, he understands this too. So what does he try to do? He's doing everything he can to hamstring the church, to limit the church, to limit her effectiveness and her testimony, her witness, and to hold back the plan of God.
And you know what? The sad thing is there's too many Christians willing to accommodate him. We're more concerned about paying the bills than we are advancing the kingdom. Come on. Is this too strong? Okay. All right. So that brings us to this. I want to read one more scripture, Isaiah 30, and then we're going to pray. Isaiah 30. You know, some of y'all only get one time a week, so I have to get all I can. I'm looking down. I ain't looking at nobody. I don't know who it is. You're liable to say anything under the anointing. You know. That brings us to this. Remember what Jesus, when he was teaching us to pray, I won't read it over there in Matthew 5. He said, pray this way. And he started out, your kingdom, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that right? So God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. The enemy has a plan and a purpose for our lives. God has a plan and a purpose for the church and for nations, and the enemy does likewise. That's why I say it's a war of the worlds. It's the war of the worlds. And we have got to decide, okay, which world am I fighting for? Which side am I on? You can't be in and out. You can't be for and against. You got to be one or the other. This is why God wants us to be passionate. Because that protects us from becoming lukewarm. Passionate means what? That the water is boiling. The water is boiling. And God wants your water, so to speak, to be boiling. He wants it to be white hot. He wants it to be passionate. And so if we understand this war of the worlds, we can understand how prayer takes on a whole new importance and dimension. It's not only about getting my needs met, yes, it's that, but it is much grander and much larger in scope than just my needs getting met. It is about the war of the worlds. It is about the kingdom of God invading. It is about God taking territory. It's about light coming into places where there was darkness before. Isaiah 30, have you found that? 18. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Well, then why doesn't he? If he longs to be. He rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. Verse 19. O people of Zion. How many of you know that's you who you are? If you read over there in Hebrews, he said, we've come to what? The holy city, Mount Zion, in the heavenlies. O people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer. As soon as God said, let there be light, what did the Holy Spirit do? Boom, light. As soon as Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, what did the Holy Spirit do? Boom, raised up Lazarus. God longs to be gracious. He longs to show his salvation. He longs to show his goodness to men. But what's the problem is somebody, somewhere, has got to begin to speak into the darkness. We've got to begin in prayer. Instead, we begin to what? Speak. The will of God, speak it into your family. Speak it into your neighborhood. Speak it into your cities. Speak it into nations. We've got to begin to speak it so that the Holy Spirit has something to work with. Now see, sometimes our problem is, you see, we'll do that, but then we'll turn right back around and let the devil get a hold of the reins again. And we begin to negate and undo everything we've spoke. You know, I've given you this silly example before. But you know, if I want to get from here to that row of chairs, it's only about 4 or 5 feet. That's no problem. Yes, Lord, I'll move forward. The devil says, you're never going to make it. Yes, Lord, I'll move forward. No, you're never going to make it. How long will it take you to get there? It's not that far. I can see it. I can see it. God said it right here. Why don't I have it? I'm going to tell you something. Because, see, you're speaking light, then you turn around and speak in darkness. for this to work in your life, you've got to be the same way all the time. When you pray, you believe. And if you believe, then you'll speak. And now what does Scripture say? I believe, therefore have we spoken. And speaking, and speaking, and speaking. Yeah, but I don't see anything. That's the God of this world. The God of the kingdom of this earth says, nothing's real except what I can see. If I can see it, if I can touch it, I believe it. That's what Thomas said. What did Jesus say to Thomas? Thomas, stop doubting. He said, stop doubting. Stop doubting. So we've got to get wise here, and we've got to give the Holy Spirit something to work with and then not take it back. If you don't mean it, don't say it. If you don't want it, don't pray it. If it's not God's will, don't do it. Because you're going to give either the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness access into your life and into your circumstance, and he's going to work in it. I mean, one of the two of them is going to work in it. Which one do you want working? Which one do you want working? I hope the kingdom of light. I hope the kingdom of light. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by the word of His power. You know why the universe, they say, you know, your universe is expanding. Keeps expanding, expanding, expanding. You know why? Because God never did say, tell it where to stop. Now, he set boundaries for the oceans, but he set no boundary for the light. He just said, light be, and it's still going. So here's the thing. We want to be careful. See, what happens is we may say light be, but then without knowing it or whatever it is in our life, we speak over it, but then all of a sudden we start letting the unbelief and everything come out of our mouth. So what we do is what we start setting limits. Well, now, Pastor, I know that the Lord can do that, but limit. I know God wants to provide, but I know God's a healer, but what? You set your limit. You set your limit. You say, oh, I don't believe that anybody can limit God. Well, God said himself about the children of Israel. He said they limited the Holy One of Israel. How did they limit them? Yakety yak, don't talk back. Remember that old song? Come on. And so we need to understand. All the young people, you'll have to go Google that. It's me hanging around Pastor Dwayne. I'm really young. I keep hanging around him, and it's all this. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. So what, you know, the war of two worlds. What are we going to do? Are we going to allow God and His kingdom to reign in our life? Are we going to allow the darkness to reign in our life? Or are we going to be sitting somewhere in this no man's land? Wouldn't that be a pleasant way to live? Back and forth, up and down, in and out. Excited, depressed. Hallelujah. Come, you see, because see, you come to church here and see, you get all fired up because you're around our faith. And you get, that lifts you up. You feel the effect of that faith and those words. But then when you get home, you're saying all this other stuff and then you back down again. Listen. That's good. Did you hear that? She said that's what makes a bored Christian, because you never see anything new. You just wearing out the carpet in that one spot. So here's what I want us to do. This is going to be our altar call. We're going to pray. We need to, and we're about to partake of the Lord's table too, and he encourages us to do this, but I want to encourage it in a little bit different fashion this morning. That is to examine ourselves. Examine ourselves. and look and see, okay, Lord, where are some areas in my life where there is darkness rather than light? And you know, you don't have to dig around for a half a day. As soon as I say that, if there are any areas, they're going to come right up because the Holy Spirit's already been dealing with you about it. And here's what you need to do. Instead of just praying, God, deliver me, God, set me free, God, do this, you need to what? Get the light. Get the light and shine it into that area of your life. And don't back away from it. Because though it may seem that it hurts, it's going to do you good. It's going to do you good because it's going to dispel that darkness in your life. It may be a bondage. It may be fears. It may be doubts. It may be a habit, something you're struggling with. But if you will put the light in there, there's a guarantee of this. Light always dispels darkness. Light will always dispel darkness. And here's the thing. When you turn the light on, leave it on, he's paying the bill. Don't worry about it. He's paying the bill. Leave the light on. Keep that light shining bright within you. That's why we say every day, what? Every day, you got to be in this book. Every day, you fellowship with God. Every day, you're talking to God. Every day. Why? Because I'm going to tell you, all it takes is what? One moment. Because as soon as you turn that light out, what's going to come back? Turn off the light. Oh, just take a vacation from the light here. Shoop. Darkness comes back in. This is why he said, you that stand, take heed lest you fall. So I want to pray, and I want us to take a moment to examine our hearts. Examine our hearts. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we come before you to examine our hearts, O God. Father, I know this war of the worlds is going on in all of our lives. Lord, there is the God of this world. And we're living in this world. And Lord, I know that things come against us. Things try to pull us back in, pull us away from the light. Ways we've been taught, ways we've been trained, attitudes we have, motives. God, whatever it is, Lord, you speak to our heart right now. You shine your light on it. God, whatever you show us, we're going to shine the light on it as well. What you speak to us now in our heart, we're going to shine the light of your word, the light of your truth on it. We're going to come to that light. We're going to stay in that light. We're going to live in that light. And Father, we thank you. The light is going to set us free. It's going to set us free from every shadow, from every bit of darkness, from every bit of bondage, from anything that is contrary to your kingdom. I thank you, Father. We embrace the light. We embrace the light.